Hello. Well, I'm going to describe a walk I've done jointly with Ron Raz, and it's after a paper called entitled "The Strength of Multilinear Proofs." So, I shall begin with an introduction of a general introduction of algebraic proof systems and what they are, because this is the background to our walk. Some might know what the frameworks of algebraic proofs. So what is an algebraic proof? You fix a field F, not necessarily finite, and then you want to demonstrate that the collection of polynomial equations has no 0, 1 solutions over F. Here's an example. We've got these four equations, four polynomial equations, and you've got this for every I, you've got these, what I should call Boolean axioms, which are axioms that force each variable to be either one or zero. So this is a collection of polynomials that has a solution or not. In this case, it has no solution, so we would like to refute it, or so to speak, prove its insolvability in the field. So what we shall do is iteratively derive a contradiction, one equals zero, by using basic algebraic rules. So we start from the axioms, which are the initial polynomials we've got, the green ones. And we have two basic algebraic inference rules, the multiplication, the product here, and addition here. So it's like it's a DAG-like proof where you have the axioms here, and you can multiply this one, this premise, by x3. So of course these rules are sound. If this is equal to zero, then multiplying by some variable also is equal to zero. So the product rule is sound, and surely the addition rule is also sound. If you have two equations equals to zero, then you can add them and they are also equal to zero. So we multiply here, we add here, we add this one, we add here with this initial polynomial and so forth, and then we reach the formal polynomial identical to one. So what we've reached is a contradiction. Since the rules of inference are sound, then it means that we have indeed refuted the initial polynomials in the field. So they don't have 0-1 solutions. In this case, they don't have any solution, not 0-1, but if we use the Boolean axioms, which are xi to 2 minus xi, then it would allow us to refute any collection of polynomials that do not have 0-1 solutions over the field. So this is an example. Of course, we don't need to write the equal zero. It's just, this is the interpretation, the semantical interpretation. So you would not write, we would just write each proof line as a polynomial in the field. So what is the definition? So this is from Clegg, Edmond, and in Pagliazzo from 96, a polynomial calculus, which is abbreviated as PC, refutation of initial polynomials, is a sequence of polynomials terminating with one generated as follows. So we've got the initial ones, the Boolean axioms, which enables us completeness over 0, 1 values, and the two inference rules, multiplication by a variable and addition, where in the addition rule we can, of course, use also multiplication by scalars in the field, alpha and beta. So again, this is what I showed just now. This is the formal definition, and this is a complete, and sound and complete proof system for unsatisfiable over 0-1 collection of polynomials. Scalars in the field, elements of the field. Yeah. Okay. So this, I'm starting with the background. So again, we can consider this kind of algebraic proof system as proof systems, as propositional proof systems, which means that they are refuting unsatisfiable CNF formulas. So we can consider take a CNF, KCNF, in this case, 2CNF, and then we can translate, as was shown earlier by in this workshop, we can take each clause here and translate it to some monomial. So what we do here, and this is an extension of PC, this would be PCR, polynomial calculus augmented with resolution. So we take the formal variables of the system to be the variables x1 to xn, and we add new formal variables x1 to xn bar, which designate the negation of xi. So each variable xi in the CNF has now two variables, xi and xi bar. Xi bar is equal to its negation. So xi is equal to 1 minus xi bar. Remember, we interpret every proof line, every polynomial, as equals to 0. So we can change sides here, and xi equals xi bar, 1 minus xi bar, which means that xi equals the negation of xi bar. And so we take a CNF and a positive literal we translate into x1 bar. So it means that x1 bar equals 1 minus xi. So an OR gate here we interpret as multiplication, and a negative literal we interpret as the variable xi. So it's very easy to see that each satisfiable 0-1 assignment to the CNF is also a common root, a solution to this this collection of polynomials. When, of course, this one also is satisfied by the assignment. So this is the base. This is called PCR. So PCR, because as I said, it can simulate polynomially resolution. So now the question is, how do we measure the size of algebraic, of this kind of algebraic proof systems? So measuring the size, we can just measure it by the total number of monomials appearing in the proof. So each proof line is a polynomial, which can be represented or designated as a sum of monomials. And if we want to know what is the size of a proof, a sequence of polynomials, we just sum the total number of monomials in the proof. And now, no, it's n, it's maximal n. So we, to a factor of polynomial, it doesn't matter. So anyway, you can just write the coefficients. So this is the size, and there is another more popular, complexity measure. It's the degree measure. The degree measure was proven to be quite similar to the size measure, measured by total number of monomials. So if we have a degree lower bounds, this implies that there are many polynomials, and Impagliazzo, Pudlak, and Segal from 1999 showed that linear degree lower bound means exponential number of monomials in proof. So if we've got a linear degree, so we also have a size, a linear degree lower bound, so for instance n, so we know that there are many monomials, so the size is also big of the proof. Okay, this one, just a remark, this one can be interpreted as polynomially equal to measuring the size as total depth to arithmetic formulas, which means a formula which has a plus gate at the root, and its sums are product gates. So, yes.
But just to clarify, many monomials doesn't mean that it's a big proof when you write it out the way you said, that you write the proof as an expression of some of this. Well, times that, you get the expression of this.
What do you mean? I don't understand. If you've got...
You could write them in nested form, right? Are you allowed to write them in...
No. That's the point here. We measure the size as the number of monomials, yes.
Your work is going to do exactly this.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, yeah. That's the background. So, and
we didn't allow that, but he's going to in a second.
Yeah, that's the point. Okay, so just... go through this very fast. So known degree low bounds are low bounds for a low degree version of the functional pigeonhole principle by Razborov and Impagliazzo, Pudlak and Sgal. These are linear in the number of holes. This is Alekhnovich and Razborov. Extended PHP, Satin's graph tautologies, Bas, Grigoriev, Impagliazzo and Pitassi. And Bensasoni Pagliazzo, linear degree also. So all these worked on the degree bound, which means many monomials, if they're written explicitly as sum of monomials. So random KCNFs also, Bensasoni Pagliazzo, Alekhnovich and Razborov, over characteristic 2. Pseudo-random generators, tautologies, Alekhnovich, Bensasson, Razborov, Bigdason, and Razborov from 2003. So maybe there are some other variants, which was proven to be to have low degree, lower bound. Okay, another thing in the background of our work is what was already discussed in this workshop is the proof circuit correspondence. So there's a somewhat informal correspondence between circuit-based complexity classes and proof system based on these circuits. So what we mean by based on these circuits is that the proof lines of the proof we are talking about consists of the circuits from the prescribed class. For instance, AC0, Frege, can be interpreted or thought of as bounded depth Frege. NC1 as Frege. P/poly Frege as extended Frege. Yeah, that's the always the correspondence. And what the informal correspondence we construe here is that is the question which always lurks in the background of or sometimes in proof complexity is does showing a lower bounds on proofs is at least as hard as showing lower bounds on circuits. So not the converse here, yeah. We're discussing this question. And we shall see some modest results in this direction. When talking about arithmetic circuits or formulas. So this is the background. Algebraic proofs translated as propositional formulas, the correspondence of proofs and circuits, and we come to the big motivation, as it were, formulate an algebraic proof system stronger than PC, resolution, and PCR. We already saw what is PC and resolution. Most of us know what it is. But not too strong, in quotations. What it means, not too strong, that the proof system based on that we would like to formulate are based on circuit class with known lower bounds. So if we would take algebraic formulas, it wouldn't conform to this stipulation because there are no lower bounds, super polynomial lower bounds on arithmetic formulas. So, and another one, which comes out somewhat surprisingly, is illustrate or pinpoint a case where there is a proof circuit correspondence, according to what I said in the previous slide. Yeah. This is the motivation. And let us see one again. This is a background. So algebraic proofs over general arithmetic formulas. So let us consider this option. What is a formula? Just to be formal and more rigorous, then a formula is just a tree We have the input variables as leaves. We have two kinds of gates labels. That's the product gate, the plus gate, and the polynomial computed by an arithmetic formula is the polynomial computed at the root of the tree. So we've got a field in the background. We've got n variables. We've got two kind of gates. And every gate in the formula computes a polynomial in the ring of polynomials. Example, this one.
Yeah. What is the role of the field? We are only using Boolean variables to
I don't understand. What is the rule of the field?
What is the role of the field?
The role of the field?
Yes.
No. The variables are, the semantics of the variables are 0, 1, but we can use scalars.
Sure. So therefore I ask you, does it make a difference? Do we get different proof systems of different strengths when we choose the field?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Yeah, there's a work of, Bass, Pagliazzo, Krajcik, and Pudlak, and Rasborov, and that works on and more that worked on rings and not fields. Yeah. What?
It's usually the characteristic of the field that is important.
Oh, that's what you mean. You mean that other kind of fields, yeah, gives you other kind of powers. Yeah, that's what you mean. Okay. Yeah. So actually, formally, each field, each fixed field, is implies a different formal proof system. Yeah, that's what you meant. Okay, so this just to be clear. So we want to write each proof line in algebraic proofs as arithmetic formulas and not at a very uneconomical way as sum of monomials. So we've got here two options. Two approaches, the syntactic approach and the semantic approach, in quotation. So what is the syntactic approach? This is the standard one, the Cook-Recco one. Each proof line is an arithmetic formula, and you should verify efficiently formulas conform to the inference rules. So we've got a line in the proof that was derived by a previous line, and we want to be able to verify in polynomial time that the formula was derived from the previous ones by the inference rules. So for an example, syntactic one, we've got psi 1, psi 2 as formulas. This is not polynomials. These are formulas that compute polynomials, and we would like to use the addition rule. So how do we do this? We just write a formula which has the root, a plus gate, and it sounds psi 1 and psi 2. So this is a syntactic term. We've got here two syntactic formulas and syntactic term. So of course we can, in a linear time, we can be sure that this one was derived by an addition rule from this one. So what is the semantic, more stronger approach? Is each proof line is an arithmetic formula again, but we don't care to verify efficiently formulas deduced from previous ones. So not efficiently, not deterministically. A polynomial time. So, example, we've got here again psi 1 and psi 2 as formulas, and we shall deduce psi, any psi identical as a polynomial to psi 1 plus psi 2. So, any formal polynomial can be computed by many arithmetic formulas. So, this is a semantic approach. So, both semantic and syntactic approach gives us a very strong proof system if we consider algebraic arithmetic formulas, general arithmetic formulas. So syntactic, I said, it's deterministically. Semantic is only probabilistically polynomial time verifiable because the polynomial identity testing is in BPP. Whether it's in P, it's an open problem. Yeah?
What does it mean? I mean, there are two polynomials, right? What does it mean the psi, right? The psi 1 and psi 2?
Yeah.
What is the identity? What is the relationship you're looking between psi 1, psi 2, and psi?
Yeah. The relation is this. You've got here a polynomial that is defined by this one. And you've got here some kind of a formula, and you want to be sure that this one really computes the same polynomial as this one, as syntactic. Yeah. So there could be some non-uniform way of representing each polynomial. Yes.
So, also more generally, if you don't know that it's exactly the sum, you can write a polynomial that expresses psi 1 and psi 2 and phi psi, and verify that polynomial. But
you have some semantic implications.
That's good. But then. Also, if you have the polynomial identity test, then you actually need to be working over a field of characteristics more than that.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. But we shall see, we shall mention proofs of a characteristic zero. So, yeah. So this is the point here, and in both what I said earlier, in both semantic and syntactic approaches, if we take general arithmetic formulas, not restricting the class, the circuit class we use, then we get a very strong, considerably strong proof system that can polynomially simulate entire Frege system. This is Bass, Impagliazzo, Krajicek, Pudlak, Rasborov, and Skal, and Pitassi and Grigoriev and Hirsch that defined syntactic one proof systems over arithmetic formulas. And why it is strong, because super polynomial lower bounds for Frege proofs is a fundamental and open problem in proof complexity, and for our motivation, no super polynomial lower bounds are known for general arithmetic formulas. So this is again the correspondence we made earlier. So this would not suffice to our ends. So what we would like to take is a more restricted class of arithmetic formulas, multilinear arithmetic formulas. What is a multilinear arithmetic formula? It's just a formula, again, like before. It's a tree with product and plus gates, but now it can only output multilinear polynomials, but not just in the root, in every gate. So in every gate, we only allow to multiply each input variable not by itself. So each variable has at most one, at most the degree of one. This is multilinear. So what is like? It's like x1 and time x2. So it cannot be x1 times x1 because this is not multilinear. X time x2, x3, product and plus. So this is multilinear, and every gate here computes a multilinear polynomial, and syntactically it can be shown very simply that it just means that the common ancestor of every that there are no two same variable xi has the same as a common ancestor, a product gate.
You said that yeah.
I don't understand.
You have equations x squared minus x.
Yeah.
It's zero, so you have x times x. Why is it not linear?
I think that
he's asking why you cannot replace a square by x squared equal x, right?
You can, that's the point in our work.
No, but I think you just said okay.
Okay. Maybe it will be clearer in a few moments. And so here we have degree fan in 2, but we want unbounded fan in gates because we shall consider bounded depth formulas. So multilinear formulas, super polynomial lower bounds on multilinear arithmetic formulas for the determinant and permanent functions were found recently by Raz 2004, and also for other polynomials 2004 and in another paper. So this conforms to our motivation that we work with a circuit class that has super polynomial lower bounds. And what is exactly the formal definition of our proof system? Then we take the semantic approach. This is important. We take a semantic approach and we write, so we say formula multilinear calculus, abbreviated as FMC refutation, we take the initial polynomials and we take a sequence of multilinear polynomials to be a proof, represented, each one represented as multilinear formula, terminating with 1 again. And exactly the axioms are the initial ones, and these two, so to speak, Boolean axioms, which says that xi equals the negation of xi bar, and this one, just because x1 is the negation of x1 bar, so xi times xi negation equals 0, it means that everything is either 0, either 0 or 1. What I said is these are formal different formal variables. That's the point. And inference rules are addition, like the previous one with scalars here. And inference rules we've got here: f multiplied by g, any arithmetic form, any polynomial, we can multiply by f. This is as long as g product f is multilinear. And what is the size? The size is the total size of multilinear formulas in the refutation. And just a remark, this is equivalently polynomially equivalent to multiplying by a single variable, because we can simulate it. Okay. So the question arises: are multilinear proofs strong enough in our sense, in the sense of what can multilinear proof system prove efficiently? Which system can it simulate polynomially? And what about bounded depths for multilinear formulas? What about proofs containing only bounded depths formulas? And what is the connection to multilinear circuit complexity? So let us see what we've got. The result we've got so far are polynomial simulation of depths 2, FMC, remember FMC is our system, formula multilinear calculus, polynomially simulates resolution, PC and PCR, depths 2, I mean each polynomial is written as only a depths, at most depths 2 arithmetic formulas, with a plus gate and at the root, and a product gate as it sounds. Yeah. Of unbounded Fanning. XI. Yeah. Yeah, that's the point. That's the sum of monomials. So sum of monomials can, of course, it was expected. It can. Yeah, but this is multilinear. So. It's simple and it's expected. But now, if we go one step further in the depths, depth 3, then we get a strictly stronger proof system than PC, PCR, and resolution. And also not strictly stronger, but at least uncomparable to bounded depth Frege. So depth 3, formula multilinear calculus, which means a plus gate, the root, a product gate at the middle and a plus gate at the bottom level, over characteristic 0, for instance, has polynomial size refutations of the functional Pigeon principle. Depth 3 formula multilinear calculus has polynomial size refutation of the Zeitung mod p contradictions over any characteristic, which already gives us the separation results we want. So look, we've got here simulation of depth 2 and efficient proofs, just taking one more depth level. But everything is multilinear. It's not just depth 3 arithmetic formulas, depth 3 restricted class of multilinear arithmetic formulas. And, okay, this I'll go quickly. Corollary separation results are resolution, functional Pigeon principle, Zeitung, PC and PCR, functional Pigeon Zeitung graph and so forth, bounded depth Frege. These are all known lower bounds, which I don't have time to go over one by one. And we've got here some kind of a map of proof system. We've got here resolution PC, let's say, over ZP. which can be simulated, this error said, that it can be simulated polynomially by PCR of the ZP, and this there is bounded depth Frege, and this is bounded depth Frege with mod P gates, and this can be simulated by Frege systems. So what we get, for instance, is depth, already depth 3 multilinear proofs can simulate PC over ZP, but are stronger than PCR. Yeah. Over ZP also, because we would not just think of characteristic zero, so I won't say, I'll remind it later. But so we've got here a separation of depth 3 multilinear calculus and an at least incomparability result from bounded depth Frege. So bounded depth Frege cannot simulate depth 3 multilinear proofs. And of course, here we've got multilinear proofs, and we can start maybe thinking of separation depth k from depth k plus 1. And because it's a semantic proof system, I don't write here that it can be simulated by Frege. But okay, that's, we've got here, of course, some other proof system, cutting planes, and we think there is a... Yeah. Yeah. You don't need the semantics?
You don't need a full semantic. You don't need arbitrary semantic rules. You can actually nail it down to some... I'd be shocked if you couldn't just nail it down.
I'm not sure. First of all, you're right, because it does works with not a semantic proof system, because when we prove the Zeitung tautologies, then we use only constant fan-in top gates of depth 3. And we know that when there are depth 3 formulas, yeah, just to make it clear, when the fan-in is constant, then we know that for this kind of circuits, we know that there is a polynomial identity testing by work of Raz and Dvir and some other work. So it is indeed not a semantic one, it's a syntactic one, in the sense of Cook-Reco. But... Yeah, but maybe you're right. For some, but not for the functional... I'm not sure that you're right about the functional pigeonhole principle, or the pigeonhole principle, because we use the fact that we use characteristic zero. And so we can have a succinct representation of symmetric polynomials. So I don't think you can prove it syntactically, the pigeonhole principle. Yeah. So general simulation, so another result is general simulation result definition. So this would be helpful later. So multilinearization of a polynomial P is just a simple thing. For a polynomial P, we write MP, I'll say multilinear P, is the unique multilinear polynomial equal to P modulo this ideal. Yeah, so actually, in fact, what it says that you got a polynomial here, you put this operator, the multilinear operator, and you just take out the powers less than more than one. So each monomial here has the same variables, but only with degree one. So this is M multilinear P. And what is the seemingly simple simulation result? So Q, an unsatisfiable set of multilinear polynomials. Let it be such system of multilinear polynomials. P1 to Pm, a sequence of polynomials that forms a PCR refutation of Q. So these are polynomials, formal polynomials, and they conform to the inference rules of the PCR, by which I mean addition and multiplication by a variable. And let for all I less than M, psi I, would be a multilinear formula for multilinear PI. So we take this bunch of polynomials and we multilinearize them, and we choose some representation of them as formulas, multilinear formulas, and we take S to be the total size of all these representations, S multilinear formulas, and D the maximal depth of them. So the theorem says the depth T FMC has a poly size in S, refutation of Q. So at first sight it seems reasonable, because we can just take the psi I to be the proof, but it's not like this. And so just to make it so everyone can read this if you haven't read it. And so what is the proof? Consider this sequence. So we've got a PCR proof, P1 to PM, and consider multilinear PIs. Is this a proof system? Is this a proof, a legitimate proof in our system? No. So first of all, let U be a sequence of our psi I, which computes these polynomials. These are formal multilinear polynomials. These are syntactic objects, formulas, multilinear formulas that compute these. Does U, this sequence, constitute a legitimate FMC proof? No. Why? Because we translated PJ XI inferred PJ deriving XI product PJ, we translated it here in U, or here in the sequence of polynomials, to multilinear XI times PJ. And note, if XI occurs in PJ, then this one is not equal to this one. Yeah, because this is already not multilinear. So what's the point of the proof? So we need just to take this sequence and add, complete it into a legitimate proof system by showing a small size depth D FMC proof of this polynomial represented as a multilinear proof formula from this one. So we have this sequence, and we have to complete it into a legitimate proof. So this lemma says so, that it can be done. Let phi be a depth D multilinear formula computing MP, then there is a depth D FMC proof of MX times P from MP of size linear in the size of the formula. And there's not much problem here, but there is some tedious work done here, because one should check that everything is in the right depth, and minimize the depths of things, that when you manipulate multilinear formulas, everything remains, everything does not grow in depth and size. And this is possible to do, and we do it in the paper. And another result is, as I reminded earlier, is the proof circuit correspondence. So what is the theorem? This is kind of an abstract way to put the theorem. An explicit separation between proofs manipulating general arithmetic circuits. Now we talk about circuits because it's more interesting here. So general arithmetic circuits proofs and proofs manipulated multilinear circuits implies a lower bound on multilinear circuits for an explicit polynomial. So this lower bound is not known. So to separate general arithmetic proofs, semantic proofs, from multilinear circuit proofs is harder than to separate the circuit class of arithmetic formal circuits and multilinear circuits. And let us see this more concretely. So here I start multilinear proof circuit correspondence and prove it. So the two definitions, CPCR is PCR, the same rules, but it is semantic algebraic proof system where polynomials are represented as general arithmetic circuits. So we take a sequence of polynomials that S polynomials forms a proof in PCR. We represent each polynomial as a general arithmetic circuit. These are not necessarily multilinear polynomials. These are just general polynomials. and we take another definition of CMC, just like FMC, formula multilinear calculus. CMC is circuit multilinear calculus, which is an extension of FMC to multilinear arithmetic circuit. So now instead of formulas, we take circuits. And the theorem says that let Q be an unsatisfiable set of multilinear polynomials. We must start with an initial polynomials which are multilinear, because everything is multilinear in our systems. And if CPCR as an efficient, so this star means provably, efficiently provably polynomial time, so polynomial size, so CPCR efficiently prove Q, this unsatisfiable set of multilinear polynomials, and CMC does not prove it efficiently, so we have a separation of the proof systems. So then there is an explicit polynomial, not just a random, but an explicit one with no poly-size multilinear circuit. So of course we use here the semantic approach we take. So let us prove this. Yeah, family. Family of, yeah, it's a family.
So everything is really QI.
Q is a family, is, yes, a family. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe I'm missing.
So. Yeah.
So I think you were hinting that these explicit polynomials would also have polynomial size non-multilinear circuits. Is that the case? Or is that the case? So why wouldn't, you know, lower bounds be determinant help for an explicit polynomial with no polynomial size multilinear circuit?
So it is, but we don't have a low bound on multilinear circuits. No, it's multilinear formulas.
Oh, I see.
That's why we took the circuit, because it's more interesting. We don't know it.
Okay.
So, yeah, of course, permanent is an explicit one. So this would be great if we had even something like this in our proof system. So what is the proof? The proof of this is simple. So remember the theorem, and now the proof is this one. We get a CPCR proof of Q, which is just, this is the proof of M circuits, M arithmetic, general arithmetic circuits. And we get, we know that there is a separation, so we know that CMC cannot efficiently prove Q. And then look at this one, this sequence, this poly number of course, because it's an efficient proof, so there's only poly number of circuits here. And look at the polynomials each circuit compute, Pi to Pm. Pi is the polynomial Ci computes. And now look at the multilinearization of these polynomials. Of course, this is not multilinear proof system, so these are general polynomials. And now MPi, this is a sequence of multilinear polynomials. And now choose phi I that computes, okay, this one should be I, phi I that computes MPi for each such polynomial. So we've got this, phi I to phi, phi 1 to phi M. These are multilinear circuits. And now, if the sum of all the circuit sizes of these phi I's is poly in N, the number of variables, then by the general simulation result we just mentioned, CMC would prove Q efficiently, because we could just complement it to a legitimate proof in the system. Of course, we have to be sure that not just for formulas the general simulation result applies, but to circuits. But this can be done. So CMC proves efficiently Q, and thus this is a contradiction. So it must be that these sums, the sum of the total sizes of all these phi i's, no matter what phi i's we choose, is bigger than poly n. And so we have now an explicit polynomial. What it is? It is the sum when we add new zi variables, zi, and multiply it by mpi, because we don't want the terms would cancel out each other. So this sum is an explicit polynomial that has no poly-size multilinear circuit. So this is the proof. It's based on this kind.
A general arithmetical polynomial size arithmetical circle. Now you have a simple polynomial. Have a polysized arithmetical circle.
Not necessarily, because it does have the multilinearization it has one, but not necessarily the after the multilinearization. That's why we didn't get separation. Implies separation, but separation implies lower bounds. Yeah, that's a good point. But yeah, and now I shall, because there is another point here which I want to make. Now we shall very briefly see the functional pigeonhole principle in our system, and this would maybe answer to Nate's question. So this is an efficient proof of a characteristic zero. The functional pigeonhole principle, the negation of it is just this set collection of clauses. The pigeon, the holds axioms, and the functional. The functional means that each xi, each pigeon I, must be mapped to just one hole, cannot be mapped to more than one hole. So this is why it's called functional. So this translates in our polynomial translation to this collection of polynomials, pigeons, holds, and functionals as polynomials. So this is actually a monomial, yeah? And this is the polynomials. And let us abbreviate briefly, just. And I'll show just the main idea here. So let us abbreviate the sum of xik to xmk, which means that that we take some hole, yk is the sum of, if the sum of all the variables of hole k. So we sum them here, and let us abbreviate let us take another abbreviation, gn equals the sum of these ones for all holes. So this is actually the sum of all the variables. Okay. So I assume you have some familiarity with the pigeonhole principle, which... So roughly, this is a sum of n Boolean variables. Why is it yi a Boolean variable? It can be shown in PCR that either this one is 1 or 0. Why? Because we have the holds axioms. So if we sum them up, so only one, we've got here pigeons that go to hole k, and only one pigeon can be at hole k. So only one pigeon can get one. So it must be that this sum is either 0 or 1. So everything, I'm kind of abstracting things here. So gn is the sum of all these yi's, where roughly it is a sum of n Boolean variables. So what's the point here? So we want to show a depth 3 FMC refutation of FFP. Functional pigeonhole principle over characteristic zero. So roughly it can be reduced in PCR to proving these are not multilinear. So in PCR to proving this one. So we've got the functional pigeonhole principle and we want to refute it. So I won't show you the details how it gets to this one. But this polynomial, if we can prove this polynomial, then we can refute the pigeonhole principle. And look at this. This is just gn is a sum of n roughly Boolean variables. So of course, this is by implication and completeness of polynomial calculus. Of course, this is derivable because gn is sum of n Boolean variables. So either gn is 0 or gn is 1 or gn is at most n. So we've got this kind of of polynomial which is not multilinear. So by the general simulation result, again, what would suffice us to show is that there is a PCR proof of polynomial number of steps, not size. We don't count here size. PCR proof of PCR proof pi of this polynomial with a polynomial number of steps. And then we should show that the multilinearization of each polynomial in pi in this proof, in this PCR proof, has p-size, poly-size, depth 3 multilinear formula. So we can take a PCR proof and then just take care that every that every polynomial in it has a small multilinear formula. And okay, so we should prove this in PCR. So we have to formally see what each line in the proof is exactly, and we develop it in our paper. And then the observation is this. This is a step two already. That is the multilinearization step. Observation. Each polynomial in the PCR refutation is a product of constant number of symmetric polynomials. So this is important. This is why we need characteristic zero. Each over some not necessarily disjoint subset of basic variables. So you need to think about it a while to understand what it means, but it's not really symmetric, but it's a product of constant number of symmetric polynomials, each over some not necessarily disjoint subsets of basic variables. So of course, if we get symmetric polynomial and we multiply it by another symmetric polynomial, we get yet another symmetric polynomial, but only in the case that the polynomials is symmetric, each product of symmetric polynomial is symmetric in the same set of variables. But here, we don't have it, but let us show an example of a typical PCR proof line from the previous refutation. So we just prove it in PCR and elaborate each line, and we see here, for instance, a typical proof line seems like this. So GI, as we said, it's a sum of roughly Boolean variables. So we get GI plus 1 times GI minus 1, in blue here, GI minus I, and YI, this is the sum of all the I plus 1 holds variables. So we've got here a green polynomial, symmetric polynomial, a blue, because multiplication of symmetric polynomials is symmetric, so a blue symmetric polynomial, and yet another symmetric over a symmetric polynomial over other not necessarily disjoint sets of variables, and let us show it. These are all our pigeon variables. These are all the formal variables we have in the proof. So GI can be shown symmetric over this set, this bunch of variables. This product, which is symmetric over this bunch of variables. And YI is symmetric over this bunch of variables. So we take care that each line is something like this one. And look that this is indeed a constant number. Three symmetric polynomials multiplied by each other. So it should be... So what is the proposition here, which is somewhat interesting by itself? Multilinearization of product of constant number of symmetric polynomials, each over some different but not necessarily disjoint subset of basic variables, xij, has polysized depth 3 multilinear formulas over characteristic 0. Over finite fields, it would not work because I think that there are the Razborov and Grigoriev lower bounds on symmetric polynomials on finite fields. So, I was going ahead, sorry. So this is our proposition. And note, these are not symmetric polynomials themselves. So our proof is based on this one, theorem of Ben-Orr. Multilinear symmetric polynomials have polysized depth 3 multilinear formulas over characteristic 0. So this can be shown. And now we have to take care that on this object that they also have succinct representation. So the function, so we take it, so to sum it up, we took a PCR proof of functional pigeonhole principle and took care that every line can be multilinearized and represented as a succinct depth 3 multilinear formula over characteristic 0. And further research, so this is, of course, I haven't shown you the citing tautologies and maybe other stuff, but as time permits, I showed you the basic ideas. So further research, there are two things here that I think are interesting. So weaker, of course, the major question here, open problem, is to prove lower bounds on this one. So, in accordance to the ideology of correspondence between proof and circuits, because we have a lower bound on multilinear formulas, then of course it would be very interesting and might be feasible to prove at least for depth 3 multilinear proofs lower bound, which we show that it has a value and an interest because it is strictly stronger than many proof systems we know. So this is kind of a natural step or extension, could be seen as a natural step extending PC and PCR, and also it has a somewhat different approach to proving the circuit lower bounds. And of course we can think of restriction, null Stalenitz proofs and other things. And the second one which I want to mention is this one. So we've got here some kind of an observation slash result which might be very interesting. Proof circuit correspondence. So what we made is a proof circuit correspondence of algebraic proofs, of algebraic proofs. Proofs versus circuits implies proofs separation proof of proofs implies separation of arithmetic separation of algebraic proofs implies separation of arithmetic circuits, but we would like to take it to the propositional case. Maybe that is very interesting. We want extended Frege separation implies arithmetic circuit formula separation. So of course this one, this question, is this harder to separate Frege and extended Frege than to separate Boolean circuits for formula, is a very important question in proof complexity. And here we can talk about the arithmetic circuit formula. So we've got here extended Frege versus Frege separation implies arithmetic circuit versus formula separation, unless, so this is or, either one of the two, either this one is right, or Frege cannot have a short small size proof of the propositional formulation of this, expressing this one. Polynomial identity testing is in NP slash poly. What? Why are you laughing? Yeah. No, this is the real. Because we have to somehow circumvent the semantic. Well, because we have to circumvent the semantic approach we take in the algebraic proof systems, we have this one, this unless, polynomial identity testing. So this is the real extended Frege separation implies circuit formula separation, unless this one. There is a lower bound for polynomial identity testing in NP slash poly, and we can formulate it as a propositional formula. So this is very... interesting in itself. What is the proof complexity of a very fundamental problem in complexity theory, the polynomial identity testing? So this is kind of an observation which might lead to something stronger, maybe, or not. And thank you.